Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see that we have some people here. We should have a better group next week when camp's over and everyone's back home. I thought I'd comment briefly on my situation. People ask me, where do you live? That's it's kind of a good question. My son and I are building a house over in the Cle Elum area, and I have a 25-foot travel trailer there, but generally we sleep actually on the job. The main floor of the house is done, so we've taken the mattresses out of the trailer and we actually sleep up there under the stars, so I'm pretty much camping during the week. And then on the weekends, I'm sort of the troll that lives in the basement of Barry and Sandy's house. So it's a very different lifestyle right now. So if you actually have a home, you can appreciate that. Well, today I'm going to talk about healing. Generally, what leaps to mind is physical healing. God is our healer, and physical healing is very important, and it is a tremendous blessing when that happens. I know that has been a part of my life and my history, and it's deeply appreciated. But what I'm going to talk about today is spiritual healing. Last week, Warren talked a little bit about Elvis Presley and how he took prescription medication, prescription painkillers, in part to deaden the emotional pain that he was experiencing. So today I'm going to focus on the non-physical side of healing. For the past 10 years, people have been coming up to me after I speak and say, what's the title of your sermon? So I think I've finally learned that I should title it. So the title of this is Spiritual Healing. I think we all know that as we grow up, and because of things that happen in our lives, we become damaged. We have things that bother us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and that we're not whole. We're just not at the place that we need to be. So what I'd like to do first is define what I mean by broken and whole, by sane and insane, because we're not created whole. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1 and start in verse 6. And I'd like to just set the stage by defining what I mean by these terms. And in 2 Timothy 1, 6, it says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So a sound mind can be defined as one that is led by God's Spirit. I'm sure we would agree that God's mind is a sound mind, and that the mind of Christ is a whole and sound mind. And we, by not being close to God and not having a relationship to God, don't have the kind of mind, the kind of sound mind, the kind of whole and healthy mind that we need to have. Now, spiritual healing is not just a principle or a theory that we can talk about. We also need to put it into practice and learn how to be made whole in a practical manner. And I'd like to talk about that as well. And to really get into it, let's turn to Isaiah 55. Just continuing to set the stage. Isaiah 55. And starting in verse 6. It says, seek you the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So we see the condition that we're in naturally, that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and that we don't think the way we need to think to have a sound mind. And of course, God shows the reason for this too. You know, in verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And then it says to return to God. And that's the first thing that we need to do. The first step to spiritual healing is repentance. And to return to God. You know, we've all lost our way at one time or another, and we need to return to God to seek him while he can be found. You know, that's a warning all in itself, to seek God while we can. And the inference is that there's a time when we could call on God and he would not be near. Let's turn to Malachi 3:7. Malachi 3:7. There's an interesting principle. It says, even from the days of your fathers are you gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. God says, return to me and I will return to you. So as we return to God and seek God, then God will return to us. The same principle is in James 4 and verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So we see that we need to turn to God, and that in turning to God and in trying to draw near to God, that he will draw near to us. And let's turn to Luke 4:18. This was at the last great day when Jesus stood up and read from the book of Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised. So Jesus found this area in Isaiah, which was a prophecy about him. So we see that healing comes through the gospel. It's preaching the gospel. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. God talks a lot about our heart. You know, in the Old Testament, it's always talking about kings whose heart was either right with God or not right with God. And we know that in talking about the new covenant, that we will be given a new heart, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, that our hearts will be turned to hearts of flesh that God can deal with instead of hearts of stone. So part of Christ's mission was to heal the brokenhearted, those who have areas of their life that need this spiritual healing. Then he came to preach deliverance to the captives. You know, everyone in this world has been taken captive by a spirit that is not in tune with God's way. You know, as Barry was talking about, that Satan holds sway over this world. And then when I was younger, I used to think, well, it's not such a bad world. It's just that Satan has screwed it up a little bit. But really, it's, you know, like the Bible says, it's corrupt from the head to the toe. It's not just a little bit messed up. You know, just as the world tomorrow is going to be a reflection of God's mind, what we see today is really a reflection of the way Satan thinks. So we need deliverance from this system. And then it says recovery of sight to the blind. You know, and we know that the world has been blinded, and that through the calling of God and through the receiving of the Holy Spirit, that our eyes are opened and that we can have sight and we can understand what our potential is and understand what we need to do to be right with God and to have our eyes opened. And then to set at liberty those who are bruised. And that's what we're talking about today, is really to be freed from things that bother us, from things that hinder us and make our lives, you know, miserable to one degree or another, because we aren't thinking correctly at this point. Psalms 51 and verse 10, we're pretty familiar with that because we sing it every Passover. But where David, in his repentance, says to create in me a clean heart. So what we're asking God to do is to create in us a clean heart, to create in us a sound mind. And the first step to that, the first step to this spiritual healing, is repentance. We have to understand that we haven't lived according to God's way, that we haven't abided by God's law. In most cases, we haven't even tried. And that when we repent, we acknowledge that we don't know the right way. You know, we don't know the right path. And that by submitting our lives to God and agreeing to live by God's ways and allowing God's word to be a light to our path, that this healing starts. So the first step is repentance, to acknowledge that we've been wrong, to acknowledge that we do not have a sound mind on our own, that we need God's Holy Spirit and God's direction, and we need that loving relationship with God to start down the road to spiritual healing. The next step beyond repentance is the step where we've acknowledged that we need to change. We've acknowledged that we need God's healing in our lives. But then we start the process. And the process, a lot of times, is painful. You know, when you peel away the defenses and so forth and look at the problem, sometimes it's not very pleasant. And God has something to help us during this phase. Let's turn to John 14 and read what it says here. John 14 and verse 16. Actually, in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that it may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it sees it not, neither knows it. But you know it, for it dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And I know in many, many cases, in talking with you and in my own life, that sometimes when we're in tremendous difficulties, that people will pray for us. And you can tell. You can tell that people are praying for you and that God's Holy Spirit is with you. Because you can get through things that are just, you know, you just wouldn't think you could. Another scripture is Psalms 34, verses 14 through 18. We'll recognize this as a words from a hymn that we used to sing. It says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such that are of a contrite spirit." And of course, contrite is an old English word that basically means a repentant spirit. When we're willing to place our lives in God's hands by drawing near to Him, by repenting, and by submitting our lives to Him, it's amazing sometimes what God will do and how God will work with you in those circumstances. You know, God is very near to those who are in the process of healing. I'd like to talk a little bit more now about God's Holy Spirit and how it works in our life. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 1, I talked about this a little bit a couple of messages ago, but trying to see if my notes make sense here. Actually, this is talking a little bit more about comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So this is talking about God comforts us, and we should be able and willing to comfort others. So we go through the period of repentance. We go through the period of healing when God is working with us. And then we come to the part where healing actually takes place. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 2. And I talked about this when I was talking about the spirit in man. But it says, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but by the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in the words of that man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we start in the healing of our mind, and in the process of spiritual healing, we start comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So we're talking about starting to think on a different plane. You know, God said that his thoughts were not our thoughts, and his thoughts were higher than our thoughts. And this is talking about the same type of thing, where, you know, through the spirit in man, we can think as human beings. But yet, there's a plane that's beyond that. And in verse 15, it says, but he that is spiritual judges all things. This is an interesting part of Scripture here. It says, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And what he's saying is that people who are not begotten by the Holy Spirit and do not think on a spiritual level can't think on the same plane that we think on. Therefore, they can't figure out where we're coming from and what we're thinking. Then in verse 16, it says, for who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So he says, well, you know, who can judge God? And yet if we have the mind of Christ, this sound mind that comes through the Holy Spirit, that we can judge things, but no one is able to judge us. So this is where healing comes from. Now, healing takes place through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, through having a relationship with God that allows us to have access to the Holy Spirit, which is the power that transforms our lives. In the first scripture I read, you know, it said, we've been given the spirit of power. And it's not so much the power, you know, that we think of, but it's the power to change our lives. It's the power to transform our minds. In Romans 12, it talks about, you know, giving our bodies a living sacrifice and to be renewed, you know, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So that's where this healing comes from, is through the renewing of our mind. Now, I'd like to talk about the practical part of this. The practical part of how do you do this? You know, it's nice to know that this happens, but how does it happen? I think the first thing is that we need to participate in this process. We can't just have head knowledge and, you know, we need to participate. We need to actively seek God, to actively want to change, to actively ask God to become a part of our lives. So I think as far as participating, the first thing we need to do is to pray that God would come into our lives, to pray for the Holy Spirit. There are indications through temple worship practices and so forth from the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit was given, is given during prayer. So we want to be praying people so that the Holy Spirit is given. We're told in James 4 in verse 2 that we don't have because we don't ask, or we ask amiss. You know, instead of asking for the new car, you know, ask for more of God's Holy Spirit. That there are many, many things to pray for that are proper, that are according to God's will. So we need to ask. That would be the first thing, is to ask for God to work in our lives, to ask for God to give us that sound mind that comes through His Spirit. I would say the second thing to do would be to thank God. We ask, we receive, and many times we don't thank God. And it's part of a building a relationship, is to thank God for the blessings that He gives us, to thank God for the trouble we don't have. A lot of times God blesses us in ways that we just have no idea, and we need to be sure and thank God. Another way to actively participate in our healing is to be forgiving people. Let's turn to Matthew 18, verse 32. This is during the account where a servant of the king had owed the king a lot of money. You know, this is like, you know, you owe Bill Gates $1 million, and you go and say, look, you know, I'd be happy to pay if I could. And he says, okay, well, forget it. You know, it's okay. And then somebody comes to you and owes you $10, and you go, no way, man, you got to pay. So that's kind of where this is coming from. In verse 32, he says, then his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you asked me. Shouldn't you therefore have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. Then verse 35. This is an amazing scripture to me, and it shows just how our heart needs to be changed. Because it says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, so it can't be just, well, you know, I'll do it because I have to. It has to be from your heart. You know, that has to be the way you are. So, you know, that is a complete transformation of a person's heart, to where you do think like God thinks. You know, your thoughts are higher than regular human thoughts. There was a man that died, I'm going to say maybe 8 years ago, named Fred Chapman. And it was probably 15 years ago or so. He was in graduate club with me, and he gave a speech. And I still remember that speech because it just had this example in it that was so, just such a great example. But Fred ran a septic pumping service. And of course, I'm in business for myself, and a lot of you are, so you know that, you know, you do your job, and then you give people a bill, and hopefully they pay you. Well, Fred had several people that wouldn't pay him. And he said, I sent them a bill, and I didn't get anything back. So I sent him a, you know, your past due. And still they wouldn't pay. And he said, this just bothered me tremendously, because after all, you know, I had done the work, and now they wouldn't pay. And he said, I lay awake at night and just wonder, why wouldn't they pay? So he said, finally, I took my invoice book, and I took, you know, their bills, and I wrote paid in full. And I put it in envelopes, and I sent it out. And he said, then I felt much better. Because it was over. It was paid. You know, he just canceled the debt. And that's exactly, you know, what forgiveness is. You know, you cancel the debt. Now, why did he do that? You know, it wasn't for them. It was for him. You know, so that's, you know, that's a good lesson for many, many things that happen in life. You know, we need to forgive, and that'll take care of lots and lots and lots of problems. You know, we carry anger around. It's amazing to me some of the things that I run into, that people just haven't forgiven one another, and somehow they live with that. But yet, you know, even brethren calling each other enemies. You know, how does that work? You know, it's just amazing. Then another thing we can do is we have each other. I think sometimes God has a pretty good sense of humor when he throws some of us together, because it's just so interesting trying to get along. But we have each other to help one another grow. You know, as we go through this process, and as we become, you know, more like God, and more, you know, have more of the attributes that are mentioned as the fruits of the Spirit, that we can, you know, it doesn't always have to be negative. You know, we can look at each other and learn from one another just by seeing God working in each other's lives. You know, we can look at someone and say, wow, you know, that's just an amazing example of, you know, humility or gentleness, or, you know, just pick one of the fruits of the Spirit. We can be positive examples one to another of God's love. And I think that we are. A lot of times we don't look that direction, maybe, but we can be tremendous examples for one another, because a lot of times we maybe don't have the kind of examples in the past that we may have had, but we can, in our spiritual family, can see that and learn about God through the example of others. And that's tremendously helpful. So one of the purposes of this message is I'd really like to encourage everyone to actively participate in the process of healing. That we all have a tremendous opportunity in working together and being together to help one another and to participate, to talk about it and help one another to become more like our Savior Jesus Christ. Because spiritual healing comes about by returning to God and by allowing him, through our humility and our drawing close to him, to allow him to create in us a new heart and a new mind, one that is whole, one that's healthy.